So about this time of year, many years ago, had some friends over. We were sitting on the deck of my home having dinner, and it was getting close to sunset. And so the sun was pretty bright, and I just started looking over at the sunset saying, oh my God, that is the most beautiful sunset. Look at all those amber tones. And my friends were deep into conversation, so they did one of these where they stopped and went, oh yeah, and then they just kept talking. And meanwhile, I am just over there just in this glorious kind of reverie of the beauty of the sunset and the tones that I have never seen before. I try again, but my friends kind of do the same thing, and so I just stay in my own little reverie and sort of, just do my thing. And then after a few minutes, the sun isn't quite as bright, and so I take my glasses off, and I notice something. It wasn't quite the same as it was when I had the amber-tinted glasses on. So I'm wondering if you too have had tinted glasses on, and if you've, did you know, by the way, that you had them on? As we look towards celebrating our country, our independence this week, this Saturday, 4th of July, we do so as a nation with our eyes more open to the truth. Aware now that maybe we had tinted glasses on of some kind. And whose freedom now are we celebrating? When will this beautiful land of the free and this beautiful home of the brave really celebrate everyone, include everyone in that freedom and in that liberation? That's the question before us now, isn't it? Our relatively young country is far from recognizing and completely realizing our ideals of liberty and justice for all. But I have hope, and I think you do too. In fact, I even have faith that we will get there. It just may take some more time. It's pretty likely it will. So you and I and vast amounts of people across our country and across our world are beginning to see differently, beginning to have our eyes opened to a new reality that maybe it's not new, but see and come to know things that we didn't know maybe even yesterday. To get honest about our history and our current reality. And still we hold that vision, still we can hold that vision of those lofty ideals. Still we can have both that divine eye that sees and holds that vision and the conscious mind and the two eyes, the physical eyes, to see the reality around us. We are always in that dance, really, as people on a spiritual path, to hold the vision of absolute reality, but to completely confront and be aware of in consciousness the relative reality that we're also dealing with. Because if we aren't aware of both, then we can't pull forth from that absolute reality or down from the depths that absolute reality into the consciousness, into the stream of mainstream consciousness, including our own. So last week, as summer began, I talked about the season of summer representing the child. That's in the Four Shields teachings. And so the child, of course, that playful child, those childlike ways, but also those childish ways. So when we move to the next stage of maturation, which is adolescence, in this Wheel of Life teachings, we hopefully, ideally, we bring with us the childlike characteristics and we leave behind the childish ways. So as we become an adolescent, we are like school kids in a way. You know, we've been brought to school and now there's all this mind-blowing stuff we're learning, or in our case, in many cases, heart-wrenching things that we're learning. So one of the things I learned about this week is the 13th Amendment of our Constitution that I have to admit I did not know. And did you know that when chattel slavery ended, that in our Constitution we still kept slavery in? This is how it's written. It's just about incarceration now. It's just about criminalization. It says, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as punishment for a crime shall exist within the United States. See the movie 13th. It's an eye-opener. Did you know that race has no biological basis whatsoever? Scientists have known this for a long time, that if we live closer to the equator, it's just simply a regional adaptation. We're going to have darker skin and different features than if we live further from the equator and have lighter skin and different features. That's all. There is no scientific basis for race. It is 100% socially constructed. For some, that's an eye-opener. Alan Goldman, one of the many scholars who speaks about this, is a professor of anthropology and biology, and he melds that with culture. Alan himself is Jewish, and he talks about the fact that as a Jew, there was a time he would have been considered non-white, and then around World War II, in full, Jews were considered white. Why? Because the powers that be suddenly decided that the Jews had earned their right to be a part of the dominant group. And that's all that happened. Amazing, isn't it? Anti-Semitism is still alive and well, of course, but it's pretty amazing to me that kind of shift, that kind of flip can be made so easily. So another important thing is for us not to say that we are colorblind. You know, this is also something that, as many white people have thought, it was a way of showing allyship, that if we say, I don't see color, or, you know, I only see character, I'm really colorblind, what we're also saying is, I don't see the differences, I don't see the inequities. In fact, that wisdom is written just down the street, next to Contra Costa Canal Trail in chalk. There's a quote there that says, if you don't see color, you don't see patterns. And so it is. So naivety no more as we break through into a different way of understanding. So we are all going to school. We are all, I hope, entering into the schoolroom of our maturation, our time of in the human development, our time of adolescence. And as we move into that, we're a bit like Eve. Remember, Eve, at about that age, reached for the apple of wisdom. She wanted to know. She was thirsting to know more than the paradise that she saw, that she thought she lived in 24/7. And when Eve reached for that apple and she took a bite, it came from that tree, the tree of knowledge, the tree that allows us to see good and evil. So instantly when she took a bite and shared a bite with her companion Adam, they both had their eyes opened. They both could see what they couldn't have seen a moment ago. They both were kind of jarred out of their paradise in a way. But what is written in that biblical story is that they could now see as God sees. They could now see both good and evil. So it is a necessary part of our maturation that we begin to become conscious, aware, right? That's always a first step in our spiritual evolution anyway, is awareness, to begin to see, and now to see as God sees. Not to put our heads under the sand, but to be aware, fully aware, even though it may hurt to know. It's likely to hurt to know. If you're a human being with a heart, you're going to hurt to know. And yet, here we go. So now you may think, well, what should I do? You know, shouldn't I follow that classic wisdom that comes from the three monkeys, that comes out of a Hindu Buddhist tradition, this idea of the three monkeys, that they see no evil, they hear no evil, they speak no evil. Well, yes, we don't want to speak evil and see evil and hear evil in terms of perpetuating it, which is what the wisdom of those monkeys was about. But we also don't want to turn a blind eye or cover our ears or not speak truth to the evils that have been revealed to us in our society. And so did you know, by the way, about the fourth monkey? That was just for a little humorous reprieve. So the blinders are off, our ears are open, and we are speaking now the truths that we are learning, many of us, and the truths that have been spoken for so long by people of color. It's just that many of us weren't hearing them. And now more of us are hearing in mass. So it's an exciting time with lots of ripe possibility and potential for all of us to wake up at a whole new level. So, you know, the thing is that the idea of naivety and sort of ignorance is bliss, which I have to admit, I kind of loved swimming in that place. I don't mean that I didn't know what I didn't know. And so sometimes I really kind of subscribe to, I'm okay with being naive, I'm okay with sort of having my heads in the cloud about transcendent spirituality and all that stuff, because it's good and it feels good and it feels like it allows us to keep perpetuating our evolution toward spirit. But the downside of it is this ignorance is bliss idea. It's dying away, right? It's dead. Naivety has to be put behind us. And we must move forward in our maturity, that is an emotional and intellectual and spiritual maturity most of all, that will allow us to know what's next in our evolution, what's next for all of us as we break through to a whole new level of understanding. So what's important to know is the principles of truth don't change. The truth with a big T, you know, our principles don't change. Our second principle, that there is a divinity within all, that we are all made of original blessing, that never changes. So even when there is this perpetration of evil in our world, and we can point to maybe elites that created some of this, it doesn't mean that they don't have goodness in them. It doesn't mean that they aren't made of the same divinity that we are all made of. But evil acts happen. People choose to not be aligned with the wisdom within them. When they make choices outside of that alignment, outside of that understanding, or intentionally, out of fear, out of lots of things. You know, it can come from a place of lack consciousness, that there's not enough, and so there's fear that there's not enough, and so we must otherize so we get to keep the goodies. It's about greed, it's about domination, maybe it's about guilt and projection of guilt. I mean, we have a pretty bloody history of genocide of Native Americans, of chattel slavery of African Americans, and so on it goes. I wanted to be, or thought I was, I am, I see now, naive enough to think that it wasn't as bad as it once was, that things had changed, but that's because a lot of this stuff went underground. A lot of these things have been intentionally created to harm, and I never wanted to believe that people would have intentions to harm others, to be cruel. But to awaken to that, it's so heartbreaking. And now we must do more. So, you know, there are people who have, and it's pretty much an elite few as far as I've learned, that have perpetuated lies about groups of people for these kinds of gains out of lack, out of greed, out of dominance, out of power over. Things like African Americans are violent and dangerous and criminal people. Or LGBTQ people are an abomination from God. You know, these kinds of lies have been perpetuated throughout our society, and we don't even see them sometimes because those messages are so woven into our everyday lives and our media and our understandings and the way that we move about the world. So once we realize the insidiousness of these things, and here's the hardest part to swallow of all of it, that we have abided by it, that we've followed along in the system. But once we know, once we're aware, that's a whole different ballgame, right? Now we see what we didn't see before. Now we know what we didn't know before. And it is with that emboldened knowledge and that wider periphery of seeing that we move forward together in a whole new way. Whenever we're in a dominant group, we benefit, of course, from the outside. But what about what's going on in the inside? We're all bearing the weight of the tremendous injustices. We have to be. We're all connected. And so there is a power lifted for us as we move through this together for all of us. There is liberty and freedom and justice for all of us in a way as that inner weight begins to open up for all of us and propels us forward to walk hand in hand together, black and brown and white, and all of us, all the expressions of humanity. So there's three aspects, I think, that are key of this spiritual awareness that is moving through us all. And the first is the awareness. The first is looking squarely in the eyes of what is happening. And what comes naturally when we do that is that the naivety begins to fall away. So we let go of those old ways of being. We let go of the ignorance and the idea that ignorance is somehow blissful. And we let all that fall away. And as we do so, then we also, as I mentioned earlier, keep that vision, hold that vision for the possibility that we all know, the spiritual possibility that we all know of oneness for all of us, of a world that works for all, and that knowing that we're all in this together. Carrie Hillary offers us this kind of encouragement in song, and I think this feels like a good time to just take a little break and be filled with that that message of oneness.
When we look up, we see the same sky, shared by us all. No one questions why. Morn brings the sun, lighting the way, the moon and the stars, closing each day. The air and the water know no boundaries. Leave them alone. The where they please, they see no color, no religion, no creed. They flow where they're guided, feeling as needs. Let's learn from the river, the moon and the sun. We're in this together, let's live as one.
So we are truly embodying that message that we are in this together, that we are one. And whenever we do this kind of diversity and inclusivity work, it's all about knowing that at the base of this spiritual work is that knowing, that truth that we hold to, that we see, that we bring forth. and a recognition that in this world of duality, we're constantly moving through the ways that we otherize, the ways that we see opposition, so that we can become a more harmonious whole. And so that's the work. So thank you, Carrie, for reminding us of the spiritual foundation of what we are doing, that this is all about, that we're in this together, and that ultimately we are one. So as we move forward to dismantling then some of these lies so that we can move into truth with a capital T more fully together, we are much like Paul, also known as Saul. And Paul, by the way, is simply the Greek version of Saul, which is the Hebrew version of the same man and the same name. So Saul, you might know the story, was on his way to Damascus. But before he headed to Damascus, he was known to be really railing against all the apostles who were teaching in the tradition of Jesus' teachings, right? Just after Jesus had been crucified, they carried on these teachings, started spreading them out around the countryside and the cities. And Paul was one of their greatest resistors. He was a very loud and violent voice against these followers of what was called the Way. In fact, he praised when Stephen was, one of the apostles, was stoned to death. I mean, it was pretty ugly. And he also would round up the people who were following the Way and incarcerate them. So he went, it's written in the Bible, that he went from house to house, dragging off both men and women and putting them in prison for speaking the truth. And so on his way to Damascus, he was on his way to round up more so-called criminals. And on his way, something miraculous happened. A great light came. It was a light of the Christ. And it was so blinding that Paul was struck blind. And the voice of Jesus came through and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And so he began to realize that when you persecute one, you persecute the Christ, the universal, the divine, because we are all one. That's basically the message Jesus was saying. Why do you persecute me? He didn't say, why do you persecute my followers? He didn't say, why do you persecute my teachers or my apostles? Why do you persecute me? Because we are all one. So then when Saul got to Damascus, he was led actually there by his companions, of course, because he couldn't see, and he was blind for 3 days. And during that time, when the outer world was closed to him and he was in the inner world in the dark, another man who followed Jesus was given a vision, Ananias. Ananias received really clear guidance to go and to put his hands on Saul's eyes, his closed eyes, and heal him from the blindness. But Ananias didn't want to do that because he knew who he was. And he said, no way, why would I go do that? This man is terrible. He's done so many evils against your followers. And yet the guidance persisted. And he also was told that Saul had a greater purpose, and that his doing so would help unleash that purpose. And so Ananias followed that guidance, and he went to where Saul was, and he placed his hands over Saul's closed eyes. And it is said that not only did he open his eyes and was able to see again, like scales fell off his eyes. Well, scales are a really symbolic thing of a reptile, right? And it points for us toward that reptilian brain, that brain that is always in a fight or flight mode, that brain that is the reactive mode, the one that lashes out, the one that creates these kinds of evils out of fear and greed and overpowering. And so it is that important shift that we are all taking from the reptilian brain to the prefrontal cortex, the more reasoning place, the place where perhaps divine intelligence might be channeled more purely through us. And it is in through that and through that eye-opening way that we evolve now into a different way of being, and we leave behind that old fight-or-flight way of being, those old scales of ignorance and fear have fallen away. So Paul also came to, and you know, there's a couple other things about scales that I found was really interesting. I was thinking about how the scales are tipping, how the critical mass of us are tipping the scales, you know, to make change, to make real change, and that ultimately the scale of justice will be evened, will be in a just place, in a place of fairness. We hold to that vision, I know. So Paul came to understand over time that, and spoke to the idea that Christ is in all of us, that and by Christ we mean that universal spirit, that essence of divinity is in all of us. And he said, Christ in you, your hope of glory. And so it is the divine in all of us that is our hope of glory, that awakening, that light comes to us too. And it might get dark before it gets light, even darker perhaps. But it's okay because we're walking together arm in arm because we know that there is an awakening happening and that the light imbues the dark, that it comes when it comes as the healing comes. We just stay the course. So there are more questions than answers when we begin to unveil this idea, this divine in us, our hope of glory, and how to get there to that place of the scales being weighted evenly so that there is true divine justice. There are simple things that we can be doing and asking ourselves. I feel like I have way more questions than answers to offer you, but in a question form, you know, how will we learn more? How will we continue to open up our eyes? And you can do that in a variety of ways. There's so many resources out there. We will be creating a resource page on our website, and there's lots of access all over the net on this, on books and films. And right here at Unity of Walnut Creek, our study group that's starting on white fragility, why it's so hard for white people to talk about racism. Really great work, really wonderful way for us to share together and walk this journey together, recognizing that racism is a system, not an individual act. And so while there may be individual acts, that's not where the focus is. It's about dismantling the system that we are all a part of. And so really want to invite you into that. We also have a film and or video and discussion group that's getting formed, and we'll have more information for you about that next week. So there's no shortage of ways to be together in community, to learn together, and to also learn individually. Then we have to ask, what's next? What's ours to do? Once we can see what is ours to do, in that maturation process in the Wheel of Life teachings, we go from child to adult, to adolescent to adult, and the adult is about action and service, taking what we now see, what we've now gone to school on and understood and become more mature on, into action. How do we implement it? How does it change our lives? How does it change our relationships and the way that we see and move about the world and impact the world in everything that we do? So that becomes a big question that we continue to hold, I think, as we move through our understanding, our seeing, our maturation process. And then how will we reveal to others? How will we help others understand what we are seeing for ourselves? What practices will keep us in that place of that absolute vision holding, that place of the knowing of our oneness? As we turn towards celebrating this week the independence of our nation, it is now with a clearer vision that I think we do so, and an ever-clarifying vision. Once we've reached for that wisdom, we've taken a bite of that knowledge, and our eyes are completely opened, it begins to be a whole new country, a whole new world, with possibilities for deep healing and reparation. The scales of fear and lack and greed and ignorance can now fall away as we can speak to the evil we see and call it out for what it is. Illumine these shadows so that we can move together and heal these deep wounds. You know the song, America the Beautiful? I'm guessing you probably do. It's pretty popular. It's based on a poem written by Catherine Lee Bates in 1893. Her poem was America, a poem for July 4th. Here's a verse worth repeating. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, till selfish gain no longer stain the banner of the free. So may it be so. May we continue to keep at it so that the selfish stain, the selfish gain will no longer stain the banner of the free. And let that banner then fly for all. So as we move together, let's keep biting into knowledge. Let's keep opening our eyes to all that we can see. Let's keep sharing that knowledge with each other and working together so that we can get to a place where that banner really does fly for all. So our affirmation is to begin to see as God sees, right? To recognize that that's what we're doing, and then to act as God acts. Let's say this together. Let's really feel it in our hearts, breathe into it, and speak these words together. Now we see as God sees, both evil and good. Now we act as God acts, with divine justice for all. And so it is. Happy 4th of July. See you next.